Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Yoshi Iwasa. Let me start with my thanks to the organizers for kind invitation. It's really a great pleasure for me to share with you my recent developments. I'm going to speak about the highly crystalline 2D superconductors induced by ionic gating. So here is the outline. After a brief introduction of gate-induced superconductivity, I'm going to touch on two subjects. One is the quantum phase transitions in this 2D, newly emerging 2D superconductors, and followed by the some non-reciprocal superconducting transport, which both of these work have been done in these colleagues at the University of Tokyo and the Tohoku University, and theoretical support is provided by Professor Naoto Nagaoka's group. So now there is a variety of newly emerging 2D superconductors showing that even in a very thin monolayer level, nice superconductivity can take place. One example is the MB-grown monolayer film of lead and indium simple metals. Not only this, iron selenide monolayer is very well known. Also, the Matsuda's group is reporting heavy film super-lattice superconductors. And the chemists are able to synthesize the even carbide monolayer films. And with this, they are able to show they're also very nice 2D superconductors. And the, this is a very mechanical cleavage developed by the graphene. BISCO is nowadays monolayer superconductor. Iron and niobium diselenide is also monolayer superconductor. And also bilayer graphene, once you intercalate it with alkali metals, alkaline earth metals, they show also superconductivity. Now, what I'm going to talk about today is the interface or gate-induced superconductivity. A very typical example is the LAO-STO interface, which is very well known, and also cuprate is very well known. And the, we have developed the technique of a gate-induced superconductivity in layered materials. To our surprise, if this is the ions are somehow located at the top of the surfaces of the materials, in order to screen the Coulomb potential of ions, electrons are accumulated on top of the layers. So even though this material is thick enough, they are able to fabricate the two-dimensional electron systems which undergoes superconductivity. And to my surprise, this arrangement of ions is highly disordered. However, the superconductivity emerging is somehow relatively clean superconductors. This is what I'm going to talk about. The history of superconductors is very long. Yeah, it starts at the very in the middle of the last century, and the but if you compare the 2D superconductors in the last century and the present century, is that all of these are very highly ordered, the crystalline superconductors. But in the 2D superconductors in the last century, basically made by the metal depositions, so the in order to make a very thin superconductor, they deposit in amorphous form or granular form, which introduce a huge number of disorders. So all these superconducting properties are controlled by disorder. But in this, newly emerging 2D superconductors, all of them are highly disordered, highly ordered, so they are free from some disorder effect. So the structure of ionic gating device is something like this, which we named electric double layer transistor. This forms the kind of a capacitance. So they are able to accumulate one or two orders of magnitude larger carrier density. So they are able to accumulate high density. And also because of such a large electric field, charges accumulate really monolayer level. That's why they are able to show superconductivity. device something like this. This we exfoliated one of the layered materials, and on top of it we made electrodes, and on top of it we put the somehow ionic liquid and to accumulate electron, high density electrons on the top of the surface. So with this we are able to demonstrate the gate-induced superconductivity in various substances. This is a very typical example of MOS2. Without applying gate voltage, it is just an insulator, but once you apply gate voltages, it turns into metals followed by onset of superconductivity. So the great advantage of this technique is that you are able to establish this superconducting phase diagram with just one device, without just by changing the gate voltages. We found that the this type of superconductivity exhibits a very ideal 2D properties of 2D superconductivity. One is the anisotropy of HC2. This is HC2 as a function of theta of the angle of the magnetic field applied, and the you see in the in-plane magnetic field you see a huge enhancement of HC2. This is nothing but and also if you magnify this peak, you see that the 2D fit works very nicely rather than the 3D fit. So this is a very strong indication of the 2Dness of superconductivity, and also they show a very nice BKT transition. So all these phenomena encourage us to investigate more details about arising from a highly crystalline 2D superconductors. Of course, we need to work on the variety of materials. One of the recent advantages is that you are able to, even with this technique, getting this superconductivity, we are able to make iron selenide monolayer superconducting. This technique was developed by the Tohoku University group. They started with the multi-layers, and they etched electrochemically and reached into the monolayer level and induced high TC. But today I'm going to focus only on the quantum phase transition, which is coming from the extremely weak pinning reflecting the 2Dness of superconductivity. And also, since this is the electric field technique, so space inversion symmetry is automatically broken. Also, the superconducting properties are very much affected by this broken inversion symmetry. One of them is enhanced HC2 by Skinner-Witt interaction, and the other is the non-reciprocal superconducting transport. Particularly, I'm going to focus on these two subjects. So if you look at the 2D superconductors, the metallic film, highly disordered metallic film, and the crystalline interfaces, MB-grown monolayers, and this gate-induced superconductivity, we realize that the pinning force is somehow very much different between the materials. In these materials, the pinning force is very strong, but the amorphous germanium was somehow turned out to be very small. But it looks like the gate-induced superconductivity seems to be even weaker pinning. So let's see what happened in such a case. In the disordered film like BIFMAS with strong pinning, this is a seminal paper reported by Alan Goldman, showing that by changing the thickness of the amorphous bismuth layers, once they reduce the thickness, the superconducting TC is going down and switched to the insulating state. And through a critical point of the resistance of this quantum resistance value. And the important thing is that simple metallic states occurs only just one point. So right after this paper, The Fisher wrote somehow made a model for the in this axis. This everything is controlled by the disorder, temperature, and the magnetic field. This is just a changing the disorder. So they, this data is scanning in this plane. So the this is a superconducting state. After this, they enter into a Bose insulating state, which is this one. This is, they call it the Bose insulator. And the same thing happens if they apply magnetic field along this way. So the from zero resistance state to insulating state occurs just at one point. This is the somehow their somehow achievement in the last century. So what newly emerging 2D superconductors gives us is the chance to go into this limit to minimize the number of the disorder and see what happens in these areas. And what we found is that the metallic region by application of magnetic field is relatively extremely large, which covers the whole area of phase diagram and the of the HT phase diagram. Once you apply magnetic field, zero resistance is immediately disappeared, and the, all these regions are kind of explained by the quantum collective creep model. And following this, the thermal creep model takes place and go into the normal state. This is very much different from this Fisher's phase diagram. They expected once the disorder is somehow minimized, they should they expected to observe because of lattice with also zero resistance state. But in what happened is that this area, this is not the case, but the whole region dominated by the quantum metallic state. So the in order to understand this phenomena, okay, this type of phenomena has been already suggested in amorphous metals by Kapchulnik, but this data is more convincing. And the data which gave such a phase diagram is something like this. This is zero resistance, and this is a log scale. But once you apply magnetic field, it almost somehow metallic state appears. Zero resistance is immediately destroyed, and you keep showing a metallic state. And this is not, this is our device which is have been fabricated by the exfoliation. But with the exfoliation, you are able to see where the grain boundary or layer step, where the layer step is. Here you see a layer step. In the real devices, we make a contact between here and here, and to avoid this layer steps. But in the case of MBE, this type of layer step is not is inevitable. So the superconducting flow, supercurrent flow, is always affected by this step. And this works as a very effective pinning center. So this system gives frequently a very strong pinning center with a strong pinning superconductor, in contrast to this very weak pinning superconductor. So so this is a this 2D superconductivity is somehow governed by the very large fluctuation due to the 2D properties. So in order to understand what's going on, we need to know the, what the mean field is. In order to estimate the mean field TC, we introduced a UD scaling for it. This is a magnetic field version of the Azarama-Larkin model. So with this scaling, you are able to obtain the mean field TC as plotted in this plot. And the, as you see here in the zero resistance, the resistance drop start to take place much higher temperature than mean field TC, so which is a manifestation of the large fluctuation. So this fluctuation, onset of fluctuation, can be defined as the even in the under magnetic field. So eventually, when superconductivity disappears, it's somehow weakly localized metal. So the so showing this upturn, so superconducting onset can be defined as the peak of this temperature dependence. With this, also this phenomena, this is the magnetoresistance of the same material. And the, if you see the, this recovery from superconducting state to the normal state, you see a very somehow systematic Mach crossing point. This Mach crossing point is very much different from what amorphous bismuth or molybdenum germanium tantalum film displayed. They always show the very nice single crossing point, but in this particular case, they show the a very somewhat systematic multi-crossing point. This is very much different from the conventional amorphous metallic superconductors. This is if you summarize all these properties, the BT-HT phase diagram becomes something like this. This is the mean field TC, which was determined by the UD scaling. And this one is this diamond shows the onset of fluctuation determined by the onset of the resistance drop. And the, these squares are coming from the crossing points, which I showed you in the previous view graph. Another phase, another boundary here, crossover point here, is the crossover from the quantum metallic state, quantum creep, to the thermal creep model. So these are the somehow very typical phase diagram of 2D superconductors with relatively weak pinning centers. So the difference between this onset and the mean field TC is nothing but fluctuation, amplitude fluctuation of superconductors, which was driven by the thermal excitation. But you see here that in the low temperature region, you see another enhancement of fluctuation. It looks like a pretty much different from what we know in the thermal fluctuation. So we, the problem is how to understand this type of quantum regions. So the great hint came out from the Beijing group, from Zhang Wan's group. And they showed that such an upturn, that's a multi-crossing point, could be understood in terms of quantum Griffith singularity. Griffith's theory is originally proposed for the 3D disordered magnets. And then they tried to apply this 3D disordered magnet model for 2D quantum transitions in 2D superconductors. Which is somehow reasonable, and the, they show the, this type of phase diagram, which is very similar to what we have established in the previous page. We did the same scaling analysis, which we don't, I don't want to touch on, and the final very important result is something like this. Critical exponent, which is determined by such a scaling analysis, was show the very sharp divergent behavior toward this critical magnetic field. Also, this plot can be done as a function of the temperature, and the, this flux type of thing is this divergence is occurring along this way, going to the low temperature or increasing magnetic field. There should be a critical magnetic field. And at this point, this critical exponent is divergent. What is the meaning of the physical meaning of the quantum Griffith singularity? This is a theory for the disordered system. So the, this is a somehow image of the image cartoon of the disordered system. This is the magnet, and around this region, there is some ordered regions. There are rarely ordered regions. In this particular case, this is a superconducting puzzle. And this type of coexistence gives you this type of divergence. And the and this is a kind of physical model of the quantum Griffith singularity. So what I want to conclude this chapter is that above the mean field critical temperature, you see a quantum fluctuation, which is called quantum Griffith state, which shows a divergence in the behavior of the critical exponent here. And everything is a crossover, and the quantum and these regions are governed by quantum fluctuation at low temperature, at low magnetic field. It is a quantum metallic state, which is nothing but a vortex liquid. There is no vortex glasses, vortex abacus of lattice in this because of the two strong quantum fluctuations, and the followed by this quantum Griffith state. This is, we believe, the generic phase diagram of relatively clean superconductors, 2D superconductors. Let me move on to the second subject on the non-reciprocal superconducting transport in MOS2. MOS2 is a very peculiar material because if you look at only on the monolayer, the inversion, in-plane inversion symmetry is broken. And because of this, the spin, and because not only, also because of the relatively strong spin orbit interaction, they show a very strong spin polarization, which is dependent on the varies. K and minus K varies is polarized up and down respectively, which gives you a very strong enhancement of HC2, as I explained in the beginning. And the, but the, this type of broken inversion symmetry could brought about unique transport in this system. So the non-reciprocal transport is nothing but the diode behavior. A diode, you know, as you know, the space inversion symmetry is broken and they're showing something like a rectifying behavior. But if the system has a translational symmetry, in other words, crystals with broken inversion symmetry, the situation is a little bit different. So the so in the case if they there is no spatial inversion symmetry, this equation holds. But since there is a time reversal symmetry, this equation holds. Because of this, you don't see any non-reciprocal transport without applying external magnetic field. Once you apply external magnetic field, this inversion, time reversal symmetry is broken, so this non-reciprocity could come out. So the, this is a phenomenological expression given by the Ricken, and the resistance should be proportional to this part, gamma plus B and I. And the, in order to detect this term, we made an AC experiment and detect the second harmonic generations. With this, you are able to detect this term. So the, let's go to the experiment. Oh, before going to this the experimental result, we show the already reported result by Ricken's. They made a very pioneering work on the bismuth helices, organic chiral conductors, carbon nanotubes for chiral systems, for polar systems. Thank you. They did the silicon FET. But recently, we worked on the Rashba-type semiconductors, bismuth telluride bromide. With this, by detecting the non-reciprocal transport, we found that the Rashba parameter, which is a very important parameter for this Rashba-type semiconductor, can be calculated in help of their Professor Nagaosa's theory. So this non-reciprocal transport is could be a very useful means for investigating the geometrical symmetry breaking. So with this knowledge, we started to work on the superconducting state of MOS2. So there should be, from the group theoretical considerations, there should be a very serious, a very strict selection rules in non-reciprocal transport. For instance, in the case of MOS2 monolayer, well, this, if you put the current along the armchair direction, the non-reciprocal signal should appear only along this parallel to the current. But if you apply the current along the zigzag chains, the non-reciprocal signal should appear only in this direction, the whole configurations. In order to, we need to check this selection rules by putting the appropriate electrode by judging the geometry of the crystals. By looking at the edge, we are able to judge which direction the crystals are oriented. So with this, we went to the measurement in the superconducting state. Now we are in the superconducting state. You apply magnetic field. Then the superconductivity comes back. The normal resistance comes back. And this is the whole resistance. So there is a slight trace of superconductivity here. And this is a simple resistance measurement. A non-reciprocal resistance, which is expressed as R2 omega, meaning that the second harmonic generation, you see a signal, finite signal in the red component. Red component is parallel to the current. So longitudinal direction, you see occurrence of some non-reciprocal signals. But in the whole signal, you don't see anything. On the other hand, if you feed the current along this way is the somehow 60 degrees rotation of this one, you see a signal in the red, blue configurations is the whole configurations. Only in the whole configuration, you see a signal, and the longitudinal signal is somehow absent. With this, we convinced ourselves that we are indeed detecting the non-reciprocal component coming from the this monolayer MOS2 crystal. And we made a temperature dependence measurement, and the R2 omega component is growing up with decreasing the temperature. Surprisingly, we didn't see any signal at the normal state, but only at the superconducting state, we saw a very large non-reciprocal component. If you compare the this gamma value, is a proportional coefficient of the non-reciprocal signal, there is nothing in the normal state in the superconducting region. We only see this signal in the superconducting region. If you compare this value, characterizing the size of the strength of this non-reciprocal component, all these normal states show the very small values. In the superconducting state, you see huge values reaching to 1,000. This is coming from the probably coming from the superconducting nature. Which is general, because in the normal state, the signal is expected, superconducting signal and the normal state signal, the ratio is characterized something like this. In the superconducting state, TC is the major component, major energy scale, and in the normal state, Fermi energy is the somehow governing the scale. Because of the difference between the two energy scales, the superconducting rectifying non-reciprocal component is pretty much enhanced. This is explained by Professor Nagaosa. But for the microscopic mechanism, still remains to be understood. We presume that this is coming from the vortex motion in the non-central symmetric media. Okay. With this, I would like to conclude my talk. After the brief introduction of the 2D superconductors, I introduce your recent result on the quantum phase diagrams, something like this, and also long-less focus superconducting transport. With this, I thank you very much for your kind attention.
So I have a comment, which is that on the first part of your talk, I think that this is one of the major new developments in condensed matter physics. For decades, it's been an element of our religious belief that metals can't exist in two dimensions. There's been a lot of experimental data that contradicts this religious belief, but as you say, the new data is much more compelling and much more believable. It's an extremely anomalous metallic state. It's got a resistivity that can be orders of magnitude smaller than the normal state resistance. So it's, in a sense, a failed superconducting state. It's a state that almost goes superconducting, but in which quantum fluctuations, for some reason that isn't well understood, prevent the occurrence of a superconducting state. And more than the phase transitions, the existence of this metallic phase is really opening a major new area in our field, and I think everybody should pay very close attention to this.
I have one or maybe two questions about the first part, about the Griffiths phase that you talked about. So normally Griffiths phase requires significant amounts of disorder.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned superconducting puddles. So are there any experimental results that show inhomogeneities in the state? I mean, something like this has, in other systems there have been STM experiments, for instance, that show very inhomogeneous order. Do you see anything like this?
Yeah, I have to say that we have no evidence for the disorder, the structures in our devices. But I'm afraid most of you are somehow confused with my message, because I repeatedly claim this is a highly crystalline 2D superconductors, but still we are using the theory of the disorder. Yeah.
Right.
So in the previous somehow amorphous films, this is a full of disorder. Yeah, but in this case, since the material is highly crystalline, the disorder is very, very tiny. Amount of disorder is very, very tiny. And that is why we are able to access this type of inhomogeneity. If you have a huge number of disorders, you are not able to detect it because it became homogeneous again. So maybe we are able to detect with some more elaborated techniques, such as STM, whatever. As you know, if you hear about the talk with graphene, you see somehow this type of wavy behavior affected by the, what is it, substrate. And this type of disorder cannot be avoided in the real system. That's why we are able to access it.
And if I may follow up with a second question. In our theory for this Griffiths phase at the superconducting transition, we made some specific predictions about exponents, also for other quantities. We also looked at conductivity. Do you find a quantitative match with the predictions that we made?
Quantitative match?
In terms of exponents, of course,
yeah.
Only universal quantities can. That's what we predicted.
We didn't go into such a detail. We only saw the divergence of the critical exponent.
Right.
That's the difference from the simply disordered systems.
Have you, in the transition region between the phases that you have marked there, have you tried to scale the data in some function of H over T as you go towards lowest temperatures?
You mean the along this region?
Here and the above, the another thing that you're...
Sorry, we haven't tried this type of analysis. What we have done is just I have shown.
That would be very...
I don't know how is there any such a theory for to,
sorry?
Is there any such a theory to of the scaling?
There may be.
Oh, okay.
You see, the point is that this model, the problem that you are describing, belongs to the class of two-dimensional dissipative quantum XY model, and that's generally accepted. But that model has never been properly solved until recently.
Okay.
And I have specific things.
Thanks for the suggestion.
So, you see power laws with field at low temperature.
Oscar. What are the IV characteristics in the quantum metal, and how low of current did you go to?
Okay, the here, IV curve, which I have shown, I haven't shown you, but the once you go into this state, it becomes relatively linear, and the linear region is relatively easy to see here. Of course, in this area, you are not able to see. So the down to very low current, which we can reach, it is relatively linear.
So along the lines of Steve's comment, so given this weird metallic state and given the evidence that it's sort of almost a superconductor, are there measurements of the Nernst effect in this region?
Nernst effect?
Yeah.
Still to be done. Still to be done.
Is that hard to measure?
No, it's possible. It is possible. Yes.
Okay. Well, just I do want to comment though that this sort of behavior is seen in very different systems. For instance, it's seen in molygermanium, which, although it's disordered, has a large KFL.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's got large amounts of homogeneous disorder.
Yeah. In this particular case of the field effect, the transistor, the KFL is in the order of 100 or 200, something like that.
It's about 40
to
50
in molygermanium.
So just a question about the disorder. Is your ionic liquid directly... is the ionic liquid directly on the surface?
Yes.
So I'm aware of some work that's been shown that, you know, this can actually cause chemical reactions, even to just bare gold. You can oxidize gold and you can pull oxygen out of vanadium oxide. Is there any case, I mean, because there are questions about where disorder could be coming from. Is there any evidence of like sample irreversibility or, you know, can you rule this out?
In this, we have worked on the moly disulfide and the zirconium nitride chloride, both of which are relatively somehow robust against the electrochemical reaction. So we are able to play with this type of games. But in the case of iron selenide, it is really reactive. So somehow, probably it is seriously affected by this type of thing. But this layer systems, it's relatively stable. Yeah, if you go to oxide, oxide is also very, very sensitive to the electrochemical reaction.
So I have a couple of questions. Do you have any, do you know how deep the superconductivity goes? Is it really confined to the top layer?
Okay.
And one more question is, do you ever see any evidence of non-local transport in this phase diagram?
Okay. So first question is how thick the superconducting layer is. From the anisotropic HC2 measurement, we are able to estimate the thickness of the superconducting layers, which is turned out to be monolayer or less than bilayer, between monolayer and bilayer. That's the estimated value. And the non-local transport, which we haven't done yet. It should be done.
My question is also about the quantum metal, but at very low fields. So you said that this quantum metal is basically a 2D vortex liquid.
Yeah.
And the question is, when you exclude the existence of a because of vortex lattice, how close to HC1 you went just to see, because you have zero resistivity, and then suddenly, as soon as you turn on the field, you have a finite resistivity.
I would say that there should be very tiny critical field. But we are not able to, we didn't, in the beginning, we didn't pay too much attention about the critical field. So we went to the relative 0.5 tesla or something like that. So there should be a very tiny critical field. It should be accessed in the near future.
Okay, may I ask you a question?
Okay.
In your quantum metal state, has anybody done a single electron tunneling and to see whether there's a gap there or not?
Not so many people believe our claim, so nobody has done it.
So nobody has done it?
No, nobody, yeah.
Any more questions? We still have some time.
Do you expect that there will be a similar quantum metal state in, for example, Mauna Loa niobium-disseminate, which is also crystalline, highly crystalline 2D superconductor?
You said niobium-disseminate.
They are
claiming the similar things.
Who are they?
She. You. Raise your hand.
Can't resist adding. So first place, there's a lot of data like this that hasn't been published for a reason you've just alluded to, which is that referees have prevented it from being published because it disagrees with theory. But in addition, this is seen in artificial systems with niobium grains on graphene and niobium grains on gold. So this sort of behavior, I mean, this is the most, you know, convincing version of it maybe, but it really is very widely observed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so, yes, yeah.
Couple of more questions?
Aaron Kapitelnik and Bresnay and so on published?
Not published.
There's a whole set of, this thing about going from the superconducting state rather than going directly to an insulating state, going instead to a metallic state.
Yeah.
Was discovered by Aaron, I believe, Aaron Kapitelnik. And then there's a lot of data around it. And this, what you're doing should sound
like I haven't collected all the data, but the Kapitelnik's paper is the only one who clearly claims so. Yeah. It's really hard to somehow convince people that they're a really large quantum metallic state. So I cannot see, as Steve said, it's really difficult to find such a paper published. You know, simply speaking, the single quantum critical point is somehow beautiful physics, right? Yeah.
Sorry, can you go back to the phase diagram that you showed at the very beginning, the Matthew Fisher's phase diagram along with yours?
Which one are you talking about? Oh. Which phase diagram are you talking about?
So at the very beginning, you made a contrast between the phase diagram that you see, the zirconium chloride compound, and the original Abrikosov lattice, Matthew Fisher.
This one.
Yeah. So maybe I can.
No.
Oh.
So there'll be a little bit more discussion in a couple of days. Representing the Kapitelnik viewpoint. But let me just make one comment here. I think these two phase diagrams are actually consistent because mm-hmm. the one on the right, the superconducting state at what you're terming low disorder, in my understanding actually is strictly speaking only a zero disorder. And so—
You mean this state, right?
Exactly.
This state is zero disorder, yeah.
Exactly, and so if you have any finite amount of disorder—
Yeah, we are very close to this point, but not—
Well, but I thought the statement was made that at finite temperature, it's a surprise that you have a metal.
No, zero temperature. That phase diagram is being disproved anyway.
Yeah. Okay, Peter.
Sorry, a question from a total non-expert. People are saying that this kind of behavior is seen in a wide variety of systems and pointing at this phase diagram, but I was under the impression that you're seeing this for some reason because of the lack of inversion symmetry in the system that you studied.
Well, this is nothing to do with the broken.
This has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I got the message.
Half is
Thanks
the
a lot.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.